Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today I have an old friend of the show. His work is beautiful, some of the best stuff ever. One of the very few people that I actually can compare his work and his work style to my good old friend and ex-co-host, Dave McGowan. He was a teacher for 30 years in LA's unified most disadvantaged kids school system. He's a filmmaker, he's an activist, and he's a good friend of the show, none other than John Hanke. So for my new listeners, you're in for a treat. Make sure you check the archives for the other shows I've done with John over the years. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Maria.
Man, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time, John. I was so happy to hear from you.
If it was last week, it would seem like a long time.
I know, in this world, it's like every morning I wake up with a feeling of dread. I look at the news and I immediately start cursing. So it's hard to get up now and set a positive tone for the day without, it's like instead of reciting prayers or a rosary, I recite the same curses over and over again. And then I can get it out of my system.
Well, so let me offer you an encouraging word, which is, because I'm stewing on the same thing. I'm eating the same bucket of slop every morning that you are.
Right.
And so here's my positive observation, which is that, Kennedy was a good guy. And under Kennedy, they launched the Bay of Pigs invasion. He didn't give them permission to launch the Bay of Pigs invasion. And it turns out that if you get your hands on the right government document, you see that they asked him and he said no, and they went ahead and did it anyway.
Right.
They assassinated Lumumba while Kennedy was... Kennedy had an interview with Dulles a month before he was to be inaugurated, and he indicated to Dulles that he was going to support Lumumba, and so Dulles gave the order to kill Lumumba. He sent 16,000 advisors to Vietnam, advisors with armed with weapons and helicopters, and they killed lots and lots and lots of people. And, he's responsible for the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? I mean, after the Bay of Pigs, and
right.
I'm not criticizing him, but he's a good guy, and he was good enough that they had to kill him. So, that's a sign. Anyway, after the Cuban Missile Crisis, he should have got down on his knees and begged forgiveness of the Cuban people. They killed 1,000 Cubans. Actually, the official figure may be 200.
Right.
But in any case, they invaded a sovereign nation, and they killed 200 defenders. And with no excuse, and he should have begged forgiveness, and he should have done it publicly, and he didn't. And as a result... Castro turned to Khrushchev and said, give me missiles to defend myself from the next invasion. And he showed all of the evidence that the CIA, against Kennedy's orders, was preparing for another invasion. But Kennedy was president, and while he's president, the CIA is preparing for another invasion. All of the anti-Castro CIA Cubans thought that, and the mafia, thought that the Kennedy assassination was going to be blamed on Cuba, and that they would then justify that to have an invasion of Cuba. And that's all very, very solidly documented. Anyhow, so in spite of what a good president, so Castro asked for the missiles, Khrushchev gave them, and they brought the world to the brink of nuclear destruction. And I said all of that to say that whoever it is who's president, if it's a Bush or a Reagan, God, they're just doing just horrific things around the world. And if it's Obama, they're still doing terrible things.
Right.
I mean, it's taken down nine notches, but nevertheless, so that the good thing that Trump is doing is he's destroying the good name and reputation and the power and the influence of the United States, and therefore of the nefarious members, the operatives inside the CIA and the NSA who used to be empowered and used to be much more capable of carrying out terrible things. And nobody, right? Trump enters into a deal with the Iranians and 12 European nations and then says, screw you, I'm backing out of it. He enters into the Paris Climate Accords with, 300 nations and then says, screw it, my word, it's worth nothing. And so that anybody, any nation on the planet looks at the United States and says, well, there's no point in negotiating with you because you're going to break it. It's so bad. He has really, really destroyed is too strong a word, obviously, but greatly, unimaginably diminished the power of the bad guys in the U.S. to carry out the evil things that they have been doing since they assassinated Roosevelt. Okay. Anyway, where do you want to start?
Let's start out with that the latest film. Is Donald Trump for real? Now, I got to tell you, John, you know that I love all your films. I'm still talking about your film on John on Kennedy Jr. And I don't even know, that was so many years ago that you and I covered that on the show. But at that time, I don't know if I ever told you as a postscript, I was dating a pilot. And one night he came over and I popped in that movie you did on Junior's death and his murder. And you know what? He sat there so intensely listening to all the points you pointed out in that movie. And as a pilot, he became infuriated at the truth that you showed. And he borrowed the film and he took the film and said he wanted to show it to his other friends who are also pilots. So, we have been lied to continuously our entire life. You know that as a history teacher. I can remember intuitively when I was a kid in school, when they taught me history, I knew they were lying to me. And I always challenged the teacher. I just intuitively knew that what they were teaching me were lies.
You have such an advantage over me. I was such an idiot.
Well, you had to follow the script or you didn't get your paycheck. I understand that. And listen, everybody wakes up at different times.
No, not as a teacher, as a student.
Oh, as a student. Oh, okay.
As a teacher, open your books, turn to page so-and-so, let's discuss the lies on this page. Okay.
Now right.
Look at the next page, let's discuss the lies on this page. And that's how I would teach is going through page by page. And, I was probably the only teacher on the campus who covered the entire textbook explaining the lies on each and every page. And, they throw in occasional and really, really essential and important truth anyhow.
Well, it's not like they were going to use Howard Zinn's History of America in their classrooms. So
we only got what we got. We didn't just use the text. We also used, there's lots of teachers, as a matter of fact.
Right.
There's lots of high school teachers around the country that use Howard Zinn.
That's great. I was thrilled. I was lucky enough to have Howard on my show 3 times. So that was like a big thrill for me. People say you've had
so many
people on your show all these years. What were your big thrill shows? I couldn't remember them like they were yesterday. But interesting, when my granddaughter was 10, so we're looking at 13 years ago, she was staying with me for her 5th grade. And she comes home from school one day and she tells me that the school's job Thanksgiving or whatever, they were going to do a fake trial about John Wilkes Booth murder of Abraham Lincoln. And when I saw the syllabus, and they were going to have real policemen in the classroom, like in the jury, okay?
Oh, my God.
Right,
this
got real ugly real quick. So I said to her, listen, you got to do what they tell you to do in school, but everything they're telling you about this is a lie. So I told her the truth about Lincoln's assassination and John Booth. And I said, you ask your teacher if you could present this side of the story during the fake trial, and tell them that your grandmother's willing to come to school and speak to it. Of course, that never happened. You know what I mean?
Well, my kids have been in classrooms where they would put Christopher Columbus on trial.
Right. Well,
so
he deserved
things have changed. I mean, there are some really, really good history teachers out there. What I wanted to say, I wanted to try to dovetail that into the movie. And, I have a bunch of notes sitting here that I don't have to look at and I don't have to refer to, but we could just take this point. Now, it's a really, really critical point, which is that this monster, Steve Bannon, figured out that there were all of these registered Republicans or right-wing individuals who knew, who listened to the various sources, Alex Jones, unfortunately, but many, many others. Well, then, you know, Alex Jones used the 9/11 issue to create the illusion that he was something other than a monster.
Right.
But there are all of these people out there. Oh, in my video, I show you the scientific poll conducted by the University of Ohio or somebody, something like 72% of the American people think that 9/11 was an inside job.
Right.
And so they're not going to vote for anybody named Bush. And geez, and similarly with the Kennedy assassination, there's an enormous, and you know, I'll pat myself on the back a little bit. I should pat myself on the back a lot, although when you look at the result, which I'm about to discuss, it ain't such a great achievement.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's an enormous awareness among people who regard, among people who support Trump, of the involvement of Bush in the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
And what do you, Alex Jones preaches my stuff. He steals my stuff. He had my movie posted on the, he probably still does. It's one of the most watched videos on his website. And I now regret the fact that he, you know, millions of people have seen it. And many, many of them on Alex Jones's website. And on the one hand, they now know about Bush's involvement in the murder of John Kennedy. On the other hand, they have been brought to look at Alex Jones as being a credible source of information. Right. Anyhow, so Steve Bannon is observing this, and he's saying, look, if you want Bush to get elected, you got to put somebody else's name on him. And that's what they did. And that's what they did with Trump. Trump is Bush, only he pretends that he's not, right? And really, really, really effectively pretends that he's not. And one of the things that's portrayed in the film, presented in the film, is that Bannon went out and hired a military psychological warfare military contractor in Britain. They're a British military contractor, and they schemed on how to influence and interfere in the American political process by developing a program of psychological warfare to be waged against, particularly against people who believe that Kennedy was killed by the government and who believe that 9/11 was an inside job. How can we take this truth that these guys have and use it against them, turn it into a vulnerability? And that's what they did with Trump. And this guy, it's presented in the film, and really there's an extensive, the reason to pay $1 to watch it on Vimeo is so that you could see that the trailer is really, really informative. The trailer is like 6 minutes long, and it's very, very solid, and you don't really miss out on anything if you don't buy the movie, if you watch the trailer carefully. But if you buy the movie for $1, you get to see the extensive interview with Chris Wiley, who was one of the founding engineers of Cambridge Analytica, the British psychological warfare company.
Right, you're talking about the young man with the pink hair?
Yes, that's the guy. And he says that based on this insight, that there are all of these people who recognize that 9/11 was an inside job. Well, how can we get them to vote Republican? And they did study groups, right? They brought in test people, and they tested this, mm-hmm. and they tested that. And they found that deep state, God, have you ever had Peter Dale Scott on?
No.
Peter Dale Scott is a guy, he's a brilliant intellectual. He's a professor at Berkeley.
I know who he is.
He was my mentor. He was my mentor on the Kennedy assassination for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's still a brilliant researcher. And he invented the word deep state. That was the title of one of his latest books, and it may be an exaggeration and maybe even misplaced to say that he invented it. I don't remember hearing it anywhere else, and he promoted it. Well, you know, he's in my circle of information, but it's certainly the place that I encountered it most prominently, and Trump has stolen deep state. They discovered, so Cambridge Analytica, these warfare specialists, psychological warfare specialists, discovered that fake news is very, very powerful. They came up with the idea that Trump should lie and say he was going to rebuild the infrastructure. People really wanted to hear that. And on and on and on. But so Wiley says that they developed this program in 2014, 2 years before Trump announced, when Bannon was working with the snake from Texas, Cruz, Ted Cruz.
Some people call him the Antichrist.
Well, but having the last name Cruz and being the son of an immigrant, Cruz may have balked a little bit at attacking immigrants the way that Trump has and promoting racism as blatantly as Trump does.
Right.
And so in any case, people weren't buying, Cruz as an alternative to Bush. They saw very, very clearly that the difference between Bush and Cruz was not worth talking about. And Trump was able to stand up and capitalize on all of this stuff. But it was very, very calculated.
Right. Well, do you remember Trump promising to reopen the 9/11 investigation? And I have to tell you, John, some of my 9/11 investigators actually believed that and became big Trump fans.
I know that there are 9/11 people who think that. I never saw him promise to do it. I know that he said stuff, and he deliberately said stuff. Oh, man. The Republican debates, he said and he's angry and yelling at poor little Jeb Bush. God take his soul right now. They knew there were no they lied about weapons of mass destruction. They knew there were no weapons of mass destruction, and they said that. And this is also in the video, in case you forgot. But Trump was very, very, I mean, I was suckered in. I listened to that. I listened to him when he talks about Lee Harvey Oswald. Do you remember all that squabble about? When he talked about Oswald, he didn't call Oswald the guy who killed Kennedy. When he said that this is Oswald, right, there was a picture of Oswald leafleting, passing out flyers on a New Orleans street corner. And the guy in the picture not only looks like Ted Cruz's father. When Kennedy was assassinated, Ted Cruz's father got the hell out of the country and ran to Canada. And that makes me think that probably was Ted Cruz's father. The fact that if Ted Cruz's father had a job, he could have said, look, I was working here and here's my time clock punch card and presented evidence to show that couldn't have been him outside the unemployment office because he was employed. And he didn't present that, which makes me think that it very likely was Ted Cruz's father, which is nothing because he was working. He wasn't working with the CIA killers who were also in that picture. He was working with Oswald, who was getting ready to get set up for the Kennedy assassination. So it's not incriminating.
Right.
He's in that picture. But
if you look at everything Trump has had to say about Ted Cruz, his ugly wife, his father killed Kennedy, and now he's stumping for him. I mean, don't people say it's all theater? It's all theater. We get nothing but bullshit from the government all the time.
It's all theater. We get nothing but bullshit. And the point was that when Trump was talking about Oswald, he said this picture was taken a month before Oswald was shot. He doesn't say it was taken a month before Oswald killed Kennedy. And I listened to him say that, and I said, damn, I was very, very, very impressed by that. And he says fake news and he says all these other things. And this is also in the video that when he appointed Mike Pence should go on trial this afternoon and should be convicted of war crimes and should be sentenced to life in prison for promoting the Iraq war using lies that are, and it's in the video where he tells the truth. And then about the anthrax and how it was very, very clear that the anthrax was from U.S. government stockpiles and had no association with Iraq whatsoever. And then Pence gets up on his high horse and starts just screaming that Iraq did this and Iraq was behind it and there's evidence that Iraq did it. And I have video of him giving the speech in which he, standing next to the scientist, tells the evidence. And then the scientist stands up and repeats it, that this the anthrax was not altered. It had not been...
Right, it was natural occurring anthrax from Fort
Well,
Detrick.
There's no such thing.
Right.
You have to weaponize. Naturally occurring anthrax is so large it can't get into your lungs. Your lungs will catch it, but then they make it into a powder it's so fine that you can inhale it. That's weaponized anthrax. There's no evidence that any country on the planet has ever produced it except the United States, and it's clear that documented that they not only produced it, they used it on their own citizens. They conducted experiments.
Right.
The only people who've ever died of anthrax died working at a factory where they were testing the anthrax vaccine. Hey, well, how are you going to test the anthrax vaccine if you don't bring in the weapon? Anyway.
Let me ask you this, John. When we had I think it's 14 bombs mailed to only Democrats and enemies of Trump, didn't your mind trip right back to those anthrax deliveries after 9/11?
Absolutely. That's exactly where it tripped back to.
Right.
Because it was the two Democratic leaders in the Senate people died in their offices. Mm-hmm. One of the people who opened one of the envelopes died from the anthrax. Yes, it did trip right back to that.
We get a repeat. It's like a sad rerun, except each rerun is worse than, Friday the 13th.
Oh, my God. Well, and thank you for introducing the point that I wanted to bring up next, which is this. I guess we have time, so I'm going to introduce it just a little bit. Who's the guy that they assassinated to start World War I?
Oh, I'll never
Archie
remember that.
Ferdinand. Archduke Ferdinand. Well, are you ready for this? Archduke Ferdinand's driver was in a motorcade, and he was, I think, in the middle of the motorcade, and he made a wrong turn. Now, all he had to do was follow the car in front of him, and he made a wrong turn down a street where the assassin was waiting. John Kennedy's motorcade route was published in the Dallas papers in the days before the motorcade and the assassination, and it did not include the turn into Dealey Plaza. So that the turn into Dealey Plaza was essentially a wrong turn into the area where the assassin was waiting for him. And I would suggest then that these guys have a playbook. They've been doing the same thing for years and years and years and years. And that's one of the, I think it's the most important thing that I present in the video, and it's worth the price of admission.
For sure.
Although I give it to you in the 6-minute short, so you don't have to pay the $1 to get it. But if you go to the library and get out 400-page biographies of Hitler and bring them home and look up regarding the time period after World War I, immediately after World War I, every single one of them will cite this guy, Captain Mayer, who wrote an article that was published in the New York Times in 1942 that was called "I Was Hitler's Boss."
All right. I saw that. That's such a great part. This whole movie was excellent.
That article is worth a 2-hour movie.
Right.
But, it's presented, and I'll tell your audience, you get to see it. I put it up on the screen, and I underline parts in red, and this guy says, and forget that he says it, you can document it 100 ways. I went to I live in Los Angeles, and I went to the Holocaust Museum in Los Angeles, which is a major institution, and I get out the Jewish encyclopedia, and I look up Hitler. And it says that before he went to work for Captain Mayer, there was no evidence of Hitler being anti-Semitic, and that, in fact, he got along well with he was an artist.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever seen Hitler's artwork,
yes,
but it's
I
really
have.
Outstanding.
Well, I thought it was better than George Bush's art. That's for sure.
Oh, by a no. It was for an untrained artist, I think. And, I got a bunch of hand-painted Van Goghs on my wall. I got $1 billion worth of artwork done by students on my walls. I'm very, very much into art.
All right.
And I'm impressed. For an untrained artist, just outstanding work. You will spend a long time looking before you find an untrained artist who does that was better. And he was able to sell it. And he had art dealers. And he complained about his Aryan art dealers who treated him, and he didn't complain about his Jewish art dealers who who didn't. And when his mother was dying, he called a Jewish doctor who came. She was dying of cancer, and it was a Jewish doctor who came and relieved his mother's suffering. When he was in World War One, it was a Jewish officer who applied to get, he gave Hitler this dangerous assignment and said, if you do this, I'll give you the Iron Cross. And Hitler did it, and he came back. And the guy said, the Jewish officer went and put in for Hitler to get the Iron Cross, and they didn't want to give it to him. And he went in himself and said, look, you got to give this guy the Iron Cross. And they did. But, you know, anyway, blah, blah, blah. I could go on because I'm a student of this particular stuff. I could go on, and I'm not. There's lots and lots of evidence to suggest that Hitler was not anti-Semitic, that he was just following orders. Now, you could say the same thing about Donald Trump. That is to say that he's preaching this racism because Bannon told him to, because they're trying to recruit people. But no, that guy's a racist dog. I mean, oh, my God.
Right.
You know,
sure you saw this morning that he wants to change the 14th Amendment to stop babies that are naturally born here from being citizens. My first post was, you know, all his children except for Tiffany were anchor babies.
Oh, my God. He was an anchor baby.
I know. I mean, what the hell? I mean,
just a couple of months ago,
Trump was demanding that the military overthrow the government of Venezuela. Okay.
Yes, I'm thinking to myself,
what about our military getting these creeps out of the White House? Aren't they supposed to defend us against enemies foreign and domestic? We need a military takeover here.
Well, you don't want Pence.
No, I don't want either one of them in there. After looking at your film, I realized that, listen, you know what? When they were running before the election, I said, are the GOP putting Trump out there? Because everybody, listen, I grew up in New York 4 years under Donald Trump, okay? He's only 4 years older than me, even though that's hard to believe. And we all knew he was a con man and a scumbag and a racist. Every New Yorker knew that, okay? So when he picks Pence, my thought was, do they want to put Trump in, knock him off? This is the only way they could anchor a lunatic like Pence, because no one would ever have voted for Pence for president. You know, kind of like Reagan and Bush, you know, and Bush Sr.
Oh. Way more than like Reagan and Bush.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, people like, you know, I don't know how old you are, John, but I'm pretty sure we're probably close in age. To me, these things are so easy for my mind to make the connections. Do you know what I mean? We've lived through this. We lived through the Reagan-Bush crap. You know, this is similar to me.
Well, so I told you all of that. But Captain Mayer says, we recruited Hitler and we handed him the script.
Right.
He says, Captain Mayer says, Hitler applied. Hitler didn't write a line of Mein Kampf, says Captain Mayer. He couldn't have. He was practically illiterate. When he submitted his reports, they were okay factually, but they were just terrible.
Like Trump's tweets.
Dramatically. And so the point is, Chris Wiley says, we wrote that script in 2014, and Captain Mayer says, we wrote that script and we handed it to Hitler. And, you know, I'm not trying to get Hitler off of anybody's shit list. And,
right.
Pardon my
friend. We went from Hitler to Shitler.
Well,
or Twitler, as some people like to call him.
Oh, my God. But my point was that they've been doing this stuff. This is just a repeat. There's nothing remotely knew about the tactics, but and I guess we have time, but let me make, I think, maybe my final point on this, which is this guy Robert Gates, it's in the, no, it isn't in the video, so if you care, you want to write this down, but I'm looking at my notes, so I won't be able to find it. Well, so I'll just talk and I'll come to it, or I won't. Anyhow, Gates hired an Israeli psychological warfare military contractor. Their name is Psy Group, PSY Group. And if you Google that and you Google Rick Gates, it will certainly come up. And they hired them to hire trolls to go on the internet. There's the headline. It's from the New York Magazine. Sought online manipulation plans from Israeli intelligence. Now, if you're an Israeli intelligence company, forget that. Let's set that aside. You're the Mossad, and you're going to carry out an assassination. Are you going to use bullets that are, say, made by the Mossad on them? Or are you going to use bullets that say made by the KGB on them? And that's a fairly simple and obvious,
right?
No difficult answering that question. Of course, they would set up the Russians. The Israelis have always hated the Russians for standing up for the Palestinians, I guess. Anyway, the point is that this guy Gates was, you know, what's the word? The tight as can be with Bannon. Bannon hired a British military intelligence company to interfere in the U.S. elections. Gates hired an Israeli military intelligence company to do exactly what they are accusing the Russians of having done. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that nothing could be more obvious than that. The Israelis hired Russian trolls to do what was done, and they may have, in fact, wanted those guys to get exposed. They may have also hired other trolls, but they made sure that it was the Russian trolls mm-hmm. who got exposed. But you have all of these repercussions and sanctions against the Russians. Why are there no repercussions and sanctions against the British, whose military intelligence team did this? And, you know, there's no secret about that. And why are there no repercussions or sanctions against the Israelis, who very, very clearly, I think, well, and then, you know, it's in the New York Magazine. They're the guys who did this. There's not, I have never seen a shred of credible evidence. Oh, the CIA says it. Now shut up and accept that answer. That's the sum total of the evidence I've seen implicating the Russians in having done anything. But right. So that's my observation.
Well, you know, I covered another one called the Israel Project that was also used all over social media, and people can Google that. John, we need to take a short break. When we get back, let's get into Cambridge Analytica and what you exposed in this film, because I'm telling you, that was the ear poppers for me. So stay with us. John Hankey and I will be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Okay, welcome back. I'm speaking with John Hankey. I have a live link here to his YouTube channel. It's called The Real History Channel. You can see all of John's work there. You absolutely can see the trailer of the movie we're talking about today, Is Donald Trump For Real? And I will tell you, it's quite the film. I watched the whole thing the other day, and I want to tell you, John, I took 6 pages of notes. Okay, 6, both sides of the page. So you don't leave anything out, from the Fort Detrick's anthrax to, you know, Ted Cruz. You bring in the Pulse nightclub shooting. I mean, you've got where all these key words that Trump keeps throwing out, all of them created at Cambridge Analytica. And then they looked for an idiot candidate and they found one. And you go on with Zapata oil. Wow, I haven't talked about that in so long. It was like a refresher course for me. You know, Bush in Dallas, on you know, when Kennedy was shot, Bobby Kennedy, even his, I don't know if it was his nephew or not, saying that Sirhan wasn't responsible for the murder of Bobby Kennedy, that he was indeed a Manchurian candidate. Oh, was his son. I mean, you go on to, you know, the Desert Warrior, you know, your work on Benghazi alone in this film is worth $1 million, John. And of course, Petraeus, who I always referred to on my show as Betrayus. So it was very enlightening. You brought in Breitbart, and then you ended it. I got to tell you, I liked listening to you sing your own song, No More Bullshit Blues, at the end of it. I said, look at that. I didn't know John sang too. So there's just so much BS out there. And listen, what you said before about Alex Jones, I warned people for 20 years not to go on his show, not to have any connection with him, because I always knew what he was too. You know, listen, I was born with a great intuition and I trust it. And he's ruined a lot of people's careers just by association. But, you know, people want to believe, you know, but for me, I only want the best people out there that I honestly trust the work of. Thus, you know, you've been on the show on and off, you know, over the past 18 years. You know, I don't even remember your first film, but I'm sure it was the one on the Kennedy assassination. And now
right.
you're working on another Kennedy assassination film. Is that right?
Yes. And thank you for asking. Yeah, I'm trying to do the definitive work. And the thing is that so much information has come out. And I mean, that's one of the really, really stunning things. But as I was saying to you during the break, that the monster, earth-shaking, and I've said this in other locales, but or maybe it was just a note I wrote to myself, that nobody should open their mouth and talk about the Kennedy assassination if they can't start by explaining. See, this has been around for freaking 50 years. I didn't know it. There are 10 affidavits in the Warren Commission documents of witnesses who say that the limousine stopped in front of the grassy knoll for about 20 seconds. There are two reporters, I have them on tape, saying they were at there was a conference of reporters about the Kennedy assassination, discussing, especially the reporters who were in Dallas that day, discussing events. And two of them say that they were in Dealey Plaza and that they saw that the limousine stopped in front of the grassy knoll. One of the affidavits in the Warren Commission documents is from Senator Yarborough, who was with Johnson in the car behind the Secret Service car that was right behind Kennedy's car. And he says, he not only did the affidavit, but he also had an interview with Joseph McBride, mm-hmm. One of my favorite people, the guy who discovered the Hoover memo that names George Bush, and the title of the memo is Assassination of President Kennedy. Anyway, Yarborough, the senator, riding 100 feet at most behind Kennedy's car, maybe closer to 50, says that the limousine stopped and the Secret Service agents in the limousine got down and walked forward and stood between the crowd and Kennedy's limousine. I guess they were there to keep somebody from the crowd from jumping in the car and pushing the president to the floor, like the Secret Service ought to have done, and they were just sitting there waiting for the kill shot. Mm-hmm. Now, the Zapruder film doesn't include any of that. They managed to cut that out, and as a film editor, if I think about that, I can't begin to imagine how I would have created that. I think that they must have driven the limousine down that street and filmed it before. They had to have done it before, because they presented the film to Johnson Monday morning at the latest. So they had maybe 50 hours to do this monumental piece of film editing, and they didn't change the shot from the knoll into a shot from behind, which would have been easy. I mean, all they would have had to do is cut out the part where he's thrown violently backward, because after he's thrown violently backward, he then lurches, he falls forward. Mm-hmm. So you have him sitting there and then he falls forward. They could have done that. A comparably easy thing to have achieved. And they wanted us to know that he was shot from the front. They wanted to exonerate the Secret Service, but they wanted us to know that he was shot from the front. Uh-huh. And why? And, you know, Mark Lane and Fletcher Prouty and all of these other fabulous researchers, you know, and the epitome of honor, and Jim Garrison, the epitome of honorable men, none of them recognized. I mean, there's all these witnesses, right? And mm-hmm. Lane talked to many of them, but he didn't make anything out of it. I think he dismissed it as, you know, the eyewitness must have been mistaken, their minds must have been playing tricks on them. I'm willing to make any excuse anybody can think of to exonerate Mark Lane for having talked to so many of these people without having noticed this. Uh-huh. But when I see that, it makes me question everything I've done for the last 50 years in terms of research. If you can't fill that hole, you got nothing to stand on. You don't have a basis from which to discuss what was going on. But so one of the reasons that I want people to go to Vimeo or go to Amazon and pay $1 or $3, or I think Amazon is $3 and Vimeo is $1, is because I'm trying to raise money to hire an editor to make the next movie where I address this sort of thing. And let me tell you another example that sort of, I think, helps to guide us along the answer to that question. But one of the things I found is that, and I didn't find it, this professor, maybe I'm not even going to name him because I don't want to get him in trouble. He was in Washington, D.C., going through Maxwell Taylor's papers, and he found a letter written by Maxwell Taylor, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to all of the heads of the military services, who are the other chiefs of staff, directing them. This is dated October 6th, that Kennedy had decided that we were going to have all personnel out by the end of 65, and that they should start today making plans for that complete withdrawal by the end of 65. Now, if you've seen the movie JFK, and you don't even have to have, but in the movie, Donald Sutherland plays Fletcher Prouty, and Fletcher Prouty, as you can find it without too much trouble, he gave many, many, many interviews where he describes how General Krulak came to him and said, come on. And Krulak had a tape recording, and he had notes from talking to Kennedy, and he says, we're going to write up the report for McNamara and Taylor. McNamara and Taylor, this is in October. It might be September 31st. Taylor and McNamara are in Vietnam, and when they come back, when they landed in Honolulu, says Prouty, they got handed their report that they had written, which, of course, they hadn't had anything to do with writing. Mm-hmm. And Kennedy had written it, and they had put in the part that all of the military people would be out by the end of 65, and it came back, and Kennedy said, no, not all the military, all personnel. I want the CIA out as well. And so they changed it, and Prouty remembered it very vividly because of that change. And for good gravy, 30 years, I mean, how long ago was JFK?
A long time. Are you kidding? It was 1963.
No. I'm sorry, the movie JFK.
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go downstairs and look at my copy. I don't know.
Well, let's say it's 80. If it's 80, that's 38 years anyway. Clinton was president, if I'm not mistaken. And so that would make it 83, 82. And it doesn't matter. The point is that from that point until a year ago, there was nothing. When you get the government documents, it doesn't say all personnel out. When you get the official copy of 263, and you can get it online, it doesn't say all personnel. It says the bulk of the military. Uh-huh. So they changed it from being a strategic, complete, black and white decision, everybody out, to being from a strategic decision to a tactical decision. Oh, we're going to have a reduction, and we're going to remove the bulk of the military. Those are not the same statements, and you can see how. And this is what happened, is that after Kennedy was murdered, McNamara says, oh, I got to go to Vietnam. He tells Johnson, and he runs off to Vietnam, and he comes back and says, oh, everything has changed. Well, nothing has changed. Diem had been assassinated a month before. Wait a minute. This is October 6th. Diem had been assassinated. But why would that make you no longer want to withdraw from Vietnam anyway? McNamara comes back and says, oh, everything's changed. All the presumptions and the understandings that Kennedy had were wrong, and we need to change our Vietnam policy. And they pounded on Johnson for the next 2 years to send troops. And it wasn't until 65 that Johnson finally caved to all of this enormous pressure to send troops and reverse this anyway. So we have, for the first time, confirmation of what Prouty said, and it's from the files of Maxwell Taylor. Well, that's huge. That's such an outstanding discovery. And, I made this movie It was originally called JFK 2, The Bush Connection, and it ended up being called Dark Legacy. It's available all over the place under both of those names. But anyway, in that movie, I killed myself trying to put together all the tiniest little evidence that suggested that Bush was involved in the Kennedy assassination. And I spent a long time talking about skull and bones and whatnot in order to define that Bush had a background that would have made it natural for him to be the person named in the Hoover memo. Well, there have been three or four since that time. Mm-hmm. There have been three or four more FBI documents naming Bush and putting him in Dallas on the day of the assassination, on the night of the assassination.
Right. He's the only man in America that doesn't remember where he was when Kennedy was shot. And we're supposed to believe
that. No, he's not. He's not the only man. Nixon and Hunt also both don't remember where they were.
I don't recall. How many times do we hear that? Two things, John. The movie JFK, I looked it up. It was made in 1991. And the other thing, do you remember?
Really?
I know, I thought it was older than that, too. But if you remember, one of the other talking points of Trump was he was going to release all the JFK papers. That was another one of his campaign lies. And you saw what happened to that. So many JFK investigators even bought that and they fell for Trump. And they're still defending Trump. So it hurt me to see how many 9/11 experts, how many JFK experts, how many voter fraud experts fell for Trump's bullcrap. I'm stunned.
Yes. Well, it was but I'm telling you, it was psychological warfare. They hired these psychological warfare guys. They presented them the fact. We have all of these guys who know 9/11 was an inside job. We have all these guys who know that the Kennedy assassination was an inside job. How can we take that truth that should be an advantage and turn it into a vulnerability, right? Because these guys possess that information, they are therefore vulnerable. Let's get them. And then they wrote up the script. Cambridge Analytica and Psy Group wrote up the scripts and handed them to Trump, and he gave the speeches.
Right.
And it was
John. Do you think that the same people are going to want to assassinate Trump when they have no use for him?
Why would they have no use for him?
Well, he's doing the job, but I mean, if he gets so insulting or doesn't play ball, you know, maybe one day his brain kicks in and he doesn't play ball. You know, to me, if they wanted Pence in office, anything can happen.
Did you say his brain kicks in and he doesn't play ball?
Right.
You mean his dementia kicks in?
Right. Well, obviously there's something seriously wrong with him. Okay. There's nothing normal about him. He's not the same man he was. He's not the same con man he was in the 80s.
Isn't he?
Well, he's still a con man, but he's not as sharp as he was. Do you know what I mean? So who knows?
I have no idea.
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell if he does these things just because he's stupid or if it's deliberate. It's hard to tell. You know, he's kind of like a third husband. You really can't figure them out. You think they're the same, but they're not. And you keep trying to figure them out.
Well, you know, Watergate Nixon was set up for Watergate.
I agree.
Nixon and Haldeman and Ehrlichman have all said the CIA did Watergate in order to implicate Nixon. That's what, and I think Haldeman and Ehrlichman died for saying it. Anyway, they both died. They were not anything remotely resembling old men when they died. Anyhow, the CIA did Watergate. There's lots and lots of people who observed that they were supposed to get caught, that the burglars were intending to get caught in order to embarrass Nixon. Blah, blah, blah. The point is they wanted to have Nixon by the gonads.
Right.
And this Trump Tower meeting with the Russians, somebody told the Trump people that the Russians had dirt on Hillary, and it wasn't the Russians.
So who was it, Israel?
Well,
they obviously have quite the hold on him, like they do on Congress.
I wouldn't distinguish Israel from the Rockefellers. I mean, those guys are a cabal, but it was those guys, right? It was the power elite, which includes Israel.
Mm-hmm.
but and they so that they could have this investigation and put Manafort in prison and put anybody who had any loyalty whatsoever to Trump in prison, and so that they could then tell Donald Trump, the minute you step out of line, all your kids are going to jail.
Well,
and you're going to jail.
They are a bunch of criminals. I mean, they have gotten away with crimes their whole life, so I have no pity for them if they go there.
But they wanted, it's my observation, that they wanted to have that.
To have it
to
over
say to Donald, you don't want to, you think his tax cut is out of line? You think giving the Pentagon more money than they asked for is out of line? You think, you know, whatever the outrageous... Well, I don't know if your listeners are paying attention. This year's deficit, well, you're going to have to look hard to find the number, but a month ago it was $950 billion. Mm-hmm. The deficit for this year was $950 billion. And do you know that the stock market has lost 3,000 points in the last couple of weeks?
Of course I do. Listeners know, you know.
But it's not, and it hasn't, it has showed up. I read it on page 6 of part 4 of one LA Times, right? They printed it, that information, once, but then it's in the 6th paragraph.
Right. I mean, they just wiped out all the gains for the whole year, but people still aren't paying attention to the manipulation.
Well, if it was the headline, people would be paying attention. They're hiding it.
Right.
They don't want people panicking. You can't panic until we have shorted everything. And once we've shorted everything and we have all our bets in place to make money off of the panic, then we will panic you. So apparently they don't have all of their bets in place yet. And when they do, they'll push the panic button. But my point is that Trump has given, and that's because of the tax cut. Trump has given them everything that they wanted.
Uh-huh.
And if he had hesitated, and he probably has hesitated occasionally, they would say, look, dude, you're going to put your entire family in prison. Get in line. And I mean, why did they impeach Nixon? Right? What was it that Nixon was doing? And we don't need to spend time on that, but it's a worthy question. And I could answer it, but I don't want to take the time to go on. My point that I want to make, how much time do we have?
We've got 3 minutes.
2 minutes.
Right.
2 minutes. All right. The morning after the assassination, the head of the CIA calls up Lyndon Johnson and he says, Oswald was in Mexico conversing with the Russians, and that's the one document that they've released, this bullshit that Oswald was in Mexico conversing with the Russians, talking to an assassination specialist, hangs up the phone. Hoover calls up Johnson and says, I got the tape and I got the photos, and it wasn't Oswald. The CIA is lying to you, trying to provoke World War III. And Johnson says, what the... Are you kidding me? And there are several exchanges over the next several years between Johnson and Hoover where they refer to this conversation about how the CIA lied to him, but they had planted the evidence weeks in advance. So clearly they had been involved in the assassination. If they're planting this, right, Oswald, there are tapes and there is a transcript, and these things are being said. They're just not being said by Oswald. Well, that tape had to have been prepared in advance in order for Hoover to be able to get his hands on it.
Right.
My point is this, that Johnson set up the Warren Commission. That's my observation. Johnson set up the Warren Commission, and it's what he says he told Warren was in order to foil the plans of the killers who Johnson observed had killed Kennedy in order to justify an invasion of Cuba. And they were going to foil them. And, you know, Robert Kennedy was the attorney general. So Robert Kennedy would have been right in the middle of all of these decisions. And people like to blame, maybe whatever, people blame Johnson and they don't blame Robert Kennedy. Johnson wasn't the chief and law enforcement officer of the country. Robert Kennedy was. So Robert Kennedy is far more important in the investigation of his brother's death than Lyndon Johnson is. Anyway, my observation, and I've always blamed Johnson, my observation is that Johnson was a good guy. On the Gulf of Tonkin, when they first brought Johnson to the Gulf of Tonkin, he made fun of them and he threw them out of the room. And this is delivered by the State Department's head of intelligence. The head of intelligence for the State Department, the guy's name is escaping me at the moment, but anyway, it's going to be in my next movie, and that's why you should buy one of these, so that I can get an editor.
Right, contribute some money
so
John can make his next movie. John, maybe you should consider doing some kind of fundraiser or GoFundMe for your film.
I don't take the time.
I know.
I'm busy making the movies.
I know. I'm busy working. You know, to not make any money, so I understand. So
if I have to edit it myself, I have to edit it myself. It just takes a couple of months long.
Listen, you've done a great job. Some of your earlier movies remind me a little bit of South Park, the way you bring people in and out. It's kind of that
right.
similar kind of editing, which is really adorable.
Oh, and that's not an accident.
Uh-huh. I know, it's adorable. John, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope it'll be less than I don't know how many years it's been since you've been on the show before I have you back.
When the movie's ready, which should be in a couple of months, I will give you a call.
Absolutely, you do that, John. You take good care of yourself.
Thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you.
You.
John Hankey. Thanks. John Hankey, check out his work. His website is therealhistorychannel.com, but he doesn't really have time to update it. But if you look for him on YouTube, it's The Real History Channel. You need to watch this film. There's so much in it that we didn't talk about because, listen, he is a JFK aficionado. That's his number one love of work. But the stuff he uncovers in this film is Donald Trump for real. Everybody needs to see. Because when you see how we've all been played, it's the same old stories from when I was in school. Anyway, thanks for joining the show. Thanks for supporting the show. Tomorrow, Richard Grove is joining me of the Peace Revolution and Tragedy and Hope. So stay tuned and tell your friends there is a place to get real news, okay? They don't have to find it on page 6, paragraph 4. It's right here at maria.net. Thanks.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.